Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band? Yeah. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Oh, Busted Pencils, we are your benzodiazepine for all critical race theory learning. Johnny, easing that anxiety, whether it's Klonopin, Xanax, Valium, you take it. That's Busted Pencils. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Involuntary relocation. Okay, Johnny, we said, where did this word come from? It's horrendous. Now, if you read, you do a Google search on involuntary relocation, and you're going to get something here. And, you know, I'm going to take a little twist in the show here. But headlines, Washington Post, Texas Board of Education got a proposal to call slavery involuntary relocation. Some Texas schools may call slavery involuntary relocation. That's U.S. News. Newsweek, Texas proposal calling slavery involuntary relocation. Ah, and when you look at that, you go, well, of course, it's Texas. That's what they do in Texas. They do silly things. In fact, it was, what, a few months ago, a year ago, when we found out that, quote, in Texas, that some slaves were sometimes referred to as, quote, workers, you know, workers. And it's like, whoa, this only crazy stuff like this would come out of Texas. Bad reporting here, though, Johnny Lupinacci, because the proposal for this language came from a group of educators in Texas who were charged with writing social studies standards for kindergartners through second graders. They put forth that language. Now, it was rejected, which is the other part that we should be happy to hear. It was unanimously rejected by the Texas State Board of Education because, you know, even they were like, this word is a problem. Dig a little bit deeper, though. Why did involuntary relocation come from a group of teachers? Oh, our wonderful friend, the dean, the College of Education at Kentucky, that chilling effect, Julian Vasquez-Hileg, who talked to us. Teachers put this word forward under fear of reprisal about actually causing uncomfort by using that word slavery, because of all of the continued bashing of teachers who are woke teachers that are grooming kids sexually to hate white people because of forced slavery, the word slavery. Is it any wonder that educators, fearing for their job, have now, you know, whether they willfully thought this was a good idea, Johnny, it makes me wonder and go, are we surprised that this is the type of cautious, frightening, wrong language that people who are under threat would put forward in an official document for fear that if they called it something, God forbid, uncomfortable, something that brought pain, something that created turmoil, that they themselves would then be hung out to dry? Johnny Lupinacci, behind the scenes, that's what I'm talking about, man.
Well, Tim, I mean, I appreciate you bringing up all these perspectives and looking into the complexities of this, because I when you explained that, I thought, you know, it is not uncommon anywhere, let alone in Texas, for teachers in this country to, you know, to feel some fear around what is the reaction to teaching about what I call difficult histories or you know, hard truths about our country's past. And so, you know, that when tasked with coming up with the solution and the kind of political climate that folks may be in, and not only Texas, but, and it's important to explain that racism is kind of across the country, whether you're in the North or the South.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it happens to be like politically more difficult in some places because there are legislative supports that tend to support the continuation of, you know, misinformation and teaching inaccurate histories. But across the board, you know, there is some taboo around teaching around race and racism. I'm hoping that's shifting as more and more young people, you know, they're coming of age in the largest social uprising of all of our lifetimes. Tim, and it's not a new one, but civil rights and human rights matter on this planet to a lot of people. And young people are making those demands in more ways than just sort of radical protest, right? And one of those ways is that through classrooms are asking questions about history. And so it's really important for all the teachers out there who will be tasked with how are you using developmentally appropriate language, that you spend some time together prototyping like our research and development teams do for cell phones and, you know, gaming consoles and all the innovative, creative ways. Spend some time together saying in a political vacuum of your community. It's not accurate to where you're teaching because you are a partner to your community. But to spend some time prototyping, ideally, if you were to provide children with the strongest foundation to build concepts and capacity to grow into democratic citizens, right, that can tackle these kinds of problems that we've been spending, you know, centuries, right, not quite grappling with them. And so if we're preparing young people for that, you know, prototype it in a vacuum. What would be the ideal language to use if you didn't have to worry about the political reaction, right? And then kind of sift out what language makes it possible for you to teach this. Mm-hmm. Because, Tim, as a teacher, I know that I've taught in contexts where maybe the only way I got to teach about enslaved people was to say something that was comfortable to the powers that be, and they approved involuntary relocation, right? That created a crack and an entry point for me to pose questions to young people. What does that term mean to them? And we begin to open up, right? And so for some of our teachers, that's the most they can do. And I promise you, in their classrooms, they're likely doing more. On the flip side, right, us, right, Tom reminded us from LA, this is of the people, right, for the people, by the people. And mm-hmm. so it's our duty together as democratic citizens to say no teacher should have to find some kind of code language to teach about something as accurate as important as the history, the horrible history of slavery in this country.
And But see, this isn't surprising to me in a way. And this is kind of the sad part of this. And, you know, and I know the show's supposed to be about happy history. And if you have happy history, call us 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789.
Emancipation.
Emancipation. No, but John, I mean, I get it. It's like this, but I, you know, a really good teacher, but I, you know, back to W. Kamau Bell's United Shades of America, and you look at that show and you see the vehemence, the kind of, you know, now that was silly hearing people go, oh, no, we don't want to teach about bad slavery. We only want to teach about good slavery. And no, we don't want to teach about genocide. We only want to teach about the good. I don't think there's a good genocide, but, you know, but if you pay attention to the whole show, and in fact, if you're like us, you know, education nerds, and you're watching this, the oppressive move to stifle, shut up, and quiet teachers, to shut them down, is, and as you said, some places, you know, maybe there's a little bit more independence, agency that teachers are allowed to have. However, that chilling effect of where one gets pulled, the idea that this wave starts to reverberate and going, I don't know if I'm willing to take a chance. And so I find it more disturbing, and teachers, I'm not picking on you if you were part of the teachers who put this word forward. I'm disturbed because I actually get a sense of going, this is what happens to people who are frightened, who are absolutely put up against this and going, you know what? My job is on the line. Divisive concepts, whether it's in Texas, whether it's in Ohio, whether it's in the state of Washington, being made to feel uncomfortable. I mean, these are laws of the land now as we're coming into this new fall. The idea of uncomfortability is something that you can sue your school district for. I mean, teachers putting forth involuntary Relocation? Well, what did you think was coming when we do what we have been doing? You know, the fact that we've got people going, I only want happy history taught. And you've got other people out there going, and if you don't teach anything other than happy history, we're going to come at you. We're going to get you fired. We're going to put you in the newspaper. And then, you know, it's like, yeah, this is the world we have. So involuntary relocation, that's a word that comes off by people who are frightened and maybe are saying like, hey, like you, I like what you said, though, Johnny, the potential of using that word as a crack. As a crack to open up the discussion of going, is this the best word now that you've read about the journey of Africans being brought in boats in the basements, in the bottoms of boats and chains to this North American continent? Is involuntary relocation a good term? That's an interesting possible teaching tactic, Johnny, and I like it. I think it's a good idea, but I'm just not surprised and frightened.
Here's the thing, Tim, because it's not about even silencing teachers. As much as I'm worried about is it's setting a precedence that it's okay to teach inaccurate truths.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so we, you know, I'm not worried about the teachers as much. I think that teachers are in place to teach, especially in this context, to teach history, right? And that there are historians who present with accuracy consensus, historical consensus,
mm-hmm.
right? That we know, for the most part, we know what occurred in the enslavement of people. And certainly the term involuntary relocation is part of it. There was some involuntary relocating. However, that term doesn't encompass all of the process of dehumanization, right? Of the enslavement of people. It includes an aspect of it. And this is the bigger problem that I think it illuminates, Tim, and I'm glad you brought it up for tonight's episode, is it doesn't just happen with regards to teaching about slavery, which I really think is important to word as teaching about the enslavement of people.
Right.
But it's the same thing around when we talk about issues about climate change. It's the same thing when we talk about sex and sexuality. These things that where we become to pick a piece of it and utilize terminology that obscures the rest of it, mm-hmm. as myth or as not accurate, and really shifts attention away from the broader concept that needs to be taught, like human health. We're talking about we're talking about gender and sexualities in schools and our relationships. We're talking about the health of our bodies and our relationships with ourselves and one another. Instead, we pick one little piece of the language that doesn't encompass the whole thing and then make a big commotion about it.
Well, Johnny, right there, you just made me think. So climate change, let's go with unpleasant weather. Okay. That way we're just a little bit of unpleasant weather.
Sure. That's a good comparison. It's similar to involuntary relocation.
Last segment when we get back, Busted Pencils, more. Give us a call when we get back.